Good morning, everyone. I'm Tom Applegate, Director of the Indiana Department of Veterans Affairs, and I want to welcome you to this historic bill signing event. Would you please join me in the presentation of the colors by the Indiana National Guard? Leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance is a World War II veteran who, as a member of the 82nd Airborne, participated in the D-Day landing. Please welcome Mr. Dick Moat.
Well, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. First of all, let me express our thanks to Brigadier General Stuart Goodwin and the War Memorial Commission for allowing us to use this fine facility. Please give them a hand. This next speaker is one I've had the pleasure of knowing for the past 15 years. He has the honor of having served as the Adjutant General under two political administrations. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Adjutant General of the Indiana National Guard, Major General R. Martin Umbarger.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you today in this historic day. But on behalf of all soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, our wonderful veterans, families, this is a special day for us. It's a special day when our governor and our elected officials, our state legislators, have saw fit to give recognition and to add additional benefits, if you will, to those of us that have served our state and served our country. So thank you so much for this day and the passage and today to be a part of the signing of this bill, which extends further benefits to us. You know, in 1974, a little something happened in this nation, a thing called the Volunteer Army, the Volunteer Military. And a lot of people in this nation said it wouldn't work. Many people in the world said it would not work. And if it does work, it for sure will not work in a time when this nation is called to war and it's stressed. And those that are willing to volunteer and put their hand up and say, I'm running to serve my state and serve my country, they won't be there then. And you'll have to go back to the draft. I think as we look at what's happened in the last 5 years since 9/11, our nation has been stressed. Our militaries have been called, our guard, our reserve component of all military service has been called, but yet we're still there and we're doing our job. It is working. And as I thought about this today, and I thought about what's special about folks that want to stand up and say, I'm willing to serve when you don't have to. And if there's one common denominator that sets out here to all of you and those that've worn the uniform before us, it's two words that I think says it all, and that's selfless service. You want to be part of something bigger than yourself. You want to give something back to this nation. There's just something in you. And you've all done it. You've done it in spades. So very, very proud of you. You're also the type of individuals that you don't ask for much. You don't beat your chest and ask for recognition. So it's kind of special when our governor, when our elected officials have saw fit in our citizens to give something back to us. So this is a special day for us. We thank all of you for this. We're here for you. We always will be. And we're proud to serve. Thank you so very much.
Senate Bill 480 was over a year in the making. The leadership of many veterans organizations began meeting on a quarterly basis, then after this legislative session began on a weekly basis, to discuss what needed to be done to keep this bill on track. Although there was never an official leader of the group chosen, there was one person who was instrumental in keeping everyone focused. Ladies and gentlemen, the American Legion Department of Indiana Adjutant, Mr. Steve Short.
Thank you, Tom. On behalf of many of the state's veterans organizations, organizations that Tom said met each and every week with members of the governor's staff and several key legislators during this very productive legislative session, I'd like to express our appreciation for the hard work of this administration and this legislature in passing Senate Bill 480. While many issues affecting our state's veterans still need to be addressed in future legislative sessions, particularly as Indiana soldiers continue to deploy in our global war on terror, I want to congratulate our governor as well as our legislature on both sides of the aisle for their sincere and timely effort to help Indiana's many veterans. The great spirit of bipartisanship displayed not only by both political parties, but more importantly, by Indiana's executive branch and its legislative branch, is a model for all states to emulate. As a matter of fact, our elected leaders inside the Washington Beltway should learn from Indiana's example, set aside their partisanship, and get to work supporting our troops as effectively as the Indiana leaders you see here today. For all of Indiana's veterans, I express a very sincere thank you.
Governor Mitch Daniels has been solidly behind veterans, their families, and survivors since before he was elected. Just days after taking the oath of office, he signed measures which made sure that, number one, state employees mobilized as a member of the Guard or Reserves would be guaranteed not to lose monthly earnings as a result. And number two, to ensure that the spouse and children of Guard and Reserve members killed on state or federal active duty would be guaranteed a higher education. He led the fight to keep Crane Naval Depot and the Terre Haute Air Guard base open. He dedicated the OEF-OIF Memorial Wall in honor of all those lost in the Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom War, excuse me. He helped arrange a multi-million dollar deal to make Mascatatuck a major active duty and National Guard training site. He has traveled to Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan to visit Hoosier service members, and without fail has comforted the survivors of those killed in the global war on terror. And now he is about to sign what is the most significant legislation for veterans enacted in over 20 years. Please join me in welcoming the governor of the state of Indiana, Governor Mitch Daniels.
Thank you all. Thank you, Tom Applegate, for your own selfless service to the veterans of this state and to those who will join them in veteran status by virtue of their service right now. My own thanks to General Stu Goodwin and all the people who make this building and our memorials such places of beauty and remembrance. Long before he got his star, Stu Goodwin was a churchmate of mine, a friend of mine, and I knew without question he'd be a great leader for this place of memory and honor. You know, from time to time, I hear people either from our state or visiting our state remark on the number of memorials that we have, the number of monuments. And sometimes I think I hear a little question in their comments, a little sarcasm even, as though we'd overdone it, as though we'd gone too far. Some make, I guess sincerely, a fundamental mistake, if they say such things. They think that buildings like this and monuments like those that we continue to erect, they think that perhaps occasions like this have something to do with the glorification of war and conflict and those who are called upon to wage it. But the people here and all people in Indiana know that's not the point at all. Buildings like this are monuments, are ceremonies, legislation like that we are about to make law, are not about glorification of war. They are about gratitude to those who fought it on behalf and in protection of the rest of us. In the old Marine Corps slogan, nobody wants to fight, but somebody better know how. Today we are here to honor those who did not want to fight, but learned how, and did fight in so many cases, and did sacrifice in too many cases, so that we could enjoy all that we do in this state, in this country. In his famous speech at West Point, General MacArthur said, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." We're determined in Indiana not to let our soldiers fade away. And they will not fade away in our memory or in the way in which we demonstrate our appreciation unless we let our appreciation fade. Today we say it will never fade in Indiana. There will not be a state in America that expresses its reverence, its gratitude, its appreciation for the soldiers of today and yesterday, and more than we will. It's an irony to me that this work was overdue and necessary, because as someone who travels this state, as probably no one else you'll meet, I can tell you there cannot be a place in America where citizens feel respect and gratitude for our military more than our state. It's in the heart of everybody that I meet. Wherever they live, whatever their views about issues of the day, they're united in that. And so it was nobody's intention that our treatment of our veterans had slipped out of date. I think, like maybe some other problems, we'd just taken our eye off the ball for a while. Because the minute that in concert with the veterans organizations who were here, we began bringing to the attention of our fellow citizens and especially legislative leaders the need to modernize and improve our rules, our tax treatment, our special provision for our military personnel, our veterans, and their families, there was instant positive reaction. Everyone wanted to help. Everyone wanted to try to shape the best measures that we could possibly come together on and afford for tax fairness, for protection against competing calls of duty, such as jury service. Very specially to me, to bring public resources to bear along with the voluntary resources we have been gathering for the relief of families who may be placed in financial hardship through the patriotism and the service of a family member who is away. The way in which these measures, this progress occurred, was important too. Winston Churchill once said, he'd discovered war and politics had their similarities. He said, "We even use poison gas at times." Politics can be poisonous, as Steve made mention earlier. But it wasn't in Indiana, not this year, and especially not on this measure. It was bipartisan. It was cooperative. And it was mutual. And I cannot say enough to thank, first of all, the advocacy groups here on this stage, all their members, and others who are in the audience today for helping us raise the level of interest, the level of understanding that we had work to do. And I cannot thank enough the leadership. I'll just mention the direct sponsors, Senator Wiest, Senator Rogers, Representative Reske, who is not with us today because he's on military training. How appropriate. And Representative McLean. They would be the first four to tell you that credit should be shared very, very widely with their fellow members. And that made this not only an important step forward, but a joyful one. So I just want to express profound thanks to those who made today possible, made this progress possible, but especially to those who waited, as General Armbruger said, without complaint, without self-pity, without making demands on their fellow citizens, even though those requests were very just and overdue. Today is about you, those who walked in your boots before and those who are yet to come. We love you. We respect you, and we always will hold you in esteem above and beyond any other public servants that make this great state the place it is. And now, if I can ask those who made today possible to join me at the table, we will make some law and make some things right for our military and veterans.
Deals with such matters as excusal from jury service and other competing public assignments that up to now have been conflict for some of our personnel on duty. And then, of course, 480, the bill principally brought us here together. The first 1092. Thank you.
Please remain standing. Caught you just in time for the retirement of the colors. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our event. Thank you for coming.